Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of assembling together as your people here at Northwood Baptist Church. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, honored and glorified, and our lives empowered to be the witnesses of your great grace that you've given to us. And Lord, that we would be a testimony for your honor and glory. Bless, Lord, we look for your encouragement, your comfort this evening. And Lord, most of all, that you would be honored and glorified through our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Justification Through Faith. And you might say, well, Brother George, I'm saved. Yes, and so were the people at Galatia here, the Galatian believers, and yet they were having these struggles. And so maybe you and I don't struggle with the idea of salvation by faith through grace. And by the way, we'll see that they also believed in the Lord by faith through grace, but then they veered off path. And that's what we want to guard against. Not that we would look to the law to keep our salvation, but we might begin to look to our doing and what we do and what we don't do as our acceptance or not acceptance before the Lord. The Lord accepts us based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, when I see the blood, amen, the judgment has passed, and we thank the Lord for that. You and I can never come into condemnation ever again, amen. We were under condemnation one time until we trusted the Lord, but once we by faith or trust in what God did for us, that took all of our sins away forevermore, amen. And that's a good thing. So tonight, as we consider our text, we're going to look at three thoughts. Are you so foolish is the question that Paul asked for the first thought. And then secondly, follow faithful Abraham, how that all transpires and works. And then thirdly, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. So as we consider our biblical reference here, this reveals that God preached the gospel to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 3 is a reference that's given to us here. In fact, Abraham at that point was still called Abram, and yet God was telling him that in you, all the nations, and that's the Gentiles, right, are going to be blessed. And so we thank the Lord for that. And really what that also reveals is that God sees everything before it's fulfilled. Do you know he sees you and I glorified in his Son? And he knows what we're going to be when we get to heaven and we stand before him. All that is in the heart and mind of God. He understands all that and he knows all of that. And that kind of hurts my brain a little bit, right, to think about that. But we can praise the Lord that he knows all of these things. In fact, when it comes to the Lord knowing all these things, in his eyes, it's already fulfilled, right? And it's as good as done, and we thank the Lord for that. And so God knows that what he has promised, get this, God knows that what he has promised is going to come to pass. Amen. Isn't that something? God's word is so sure that he knows it's going to come to pass. All of the promises that he's given to us, he intends to fulfill. The only thing that you and I need is to grab hold of those promises with the handle of faith. Amen? Not of our righteousness, not of what we do or what we don't do, but because of God's great faithfulness. We can count on his promises. So let's get started here. Let's back up here to verse 1. And notice what he says here. He asks the question, are you so foolish? And we find really the Galatians' destructive error here. And we're going to see this doctrine that causes a believer to disobey the truth. This doctrine that we're looking at tonight will cause the believer, not the unbeliever, but the believer to disobey the truth. Look at verse 1. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" And that's important because Paul is saying, who's cast a spell on you? Who's deceived you into veering off the truth, veering away from the path, right? And so he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Listen to this, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." They had a vivid understanding. Listen, when you and I got saved, God made the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ a reality in our hearts, did he not? Jesus Christ did that, and that's the payment for our sins. And never before, until we got saved, did we ever look at it like that, because it takes God to open up our hearts and minds to see what the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was really all about. And by the way, think about this. There were many people that were crucified during the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the way of public execution. The difference, the big difference between the Lord's crucifixion and all the others was that the righteous shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ made the provision to pay for the sins of the whole world. For all those that would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have eternal life by putting their faith or their trust in what Jesus Christ did for them. So this destructive error, he says, "O foolish Galatians," verse 1, "who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" He says, how can this be? "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And of course the answer is by the hearing of faith. They understood that, and so now they've gone off path. They've been deceived, and they've been taken off course from the truth. And what, are they obeying the truth now? No, they're not. They're not obeying the truth. That's why Paul is trying to point them back into the right way. Now, let's think a little bit about this concerning the Lord. You know, the Lord knew they were going to veer off path. The Lord knew that these Galatian believers were going to have to be encouraged to come back into the right path. The Lord also knows you and I when we veer off path. Now, it's one thing to say, okay, I would never believe that, but how do we live our life? Is our life one that is showing our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what do we mean by that? Well, let me ask you this. Is prayer important? Amen? And does God hear our prayers? All right? And how adamantly are we about prayer on a daily basis? Right? Do we make that appointment with the Lord, saying, "Lord, I need to get before your throne every day before I start my day, that I might walk in your way by faith, trusting you that you will perform what you've promised to perform, and that is that you would make me a holy individual for your honor and glory. I'm not looking to be perfect for my sake. I'm wanting to be upright before the Lord for his honor and glory. Lord, I want you to make me what you want me to be. I want to be somebody that would honor and glorify you, and I do want to hear you know what I want to hear more than anything else? The same thing I think that you want to hear, and that is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know, all the rewards and all of that stuff, that's all good and well, and I'm glad for them. But more than anything else, more than any reward, I would like to hear from the lips of the one who gave his life for me, well done. You've taken the promises of God, you've believed them, you've walked in them, you've grown in them. Have you stumbled? Absolutely. Amen. We all stumble. Have you taken some steps back? Right? So with the Lord, sometimes we take a step back, but God will see to it that we begin to walk forward again. And that's what the Lord is doing here in the life of the Galatian believers. He's wanting them to put them on the path to spiritual success. All right? Let me ask you this. What path does God want you and I on? Does he not want us on the path of spiritual success? Absolutely. So as we consider this, we find that this is the kind of doctrine when they disobey the truth, when they lean to their own understanding or in their flesh or what they think is right. That's what they started to do. They said, well, these people came in and said, this is the right way. And they began to follow them. Which is the right way? Is it not in the Word of God? So we need to adhere to what the Word of God is saying and walk according to the Word of God. But these people came in and said, listen, I know what the Word of God says, but you can do it like this, and I think this is okay, and I think this is the right way, that will lead us in the wrong direction. We need to, the Word of God must be the rule, and not what people are teaching if it contradicts what the Word of God is saying. So the Word of God has to be our rule, and we need to be serious about the truth of the Word of God, because if not, we'll turn aside. So in other words, if the Bible says something about the way we're to walk and the fruits of the Spirit, should we seek the fruits of the Spirit, or shall we say, well, I can't do that? Well, God, listen, God will enable us to do those things. I know I can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ, but just because I can't do anything, God has promised to enable me to do how many things? Isn't that amazing? With Christ, I can do these things. So if somebody's going to say, well, listen, and they do say this, hey, it's covered under grace, don't worry about it, just live, everybody's doing it. You ever heard that? Everybody's doing it. No, I promise you, everybody's not doing it. I promise you, there are people that are committed and dedicated towards following the Lord Jesus Christ, and their testimony and they're wanting to hear, well done, and wanting to finish the course. And that's what we ought to pray for. Lord, enable me to finish the course, my course. We all have our own course, don't we? God has given to each and every one of us a course, and God wants us to finish it by His power, by His grace, for His honor and glory. Lord, may You enable me to finish the course You've given to me, that I might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and receive all the things that You have in store for all of us on this side of eternity and also in the life to come. So verse 3, we find here that salvation in Jesus Christ begins with faith and never changes course. Did you hear that? Salvation in Jesus Christ begins in faith and never changes course. So it's not just that I'm saved when we say salvation, but we're talking about walking in the new life that God has given to us. That new life that we walk in is also by faith or by trust. By faith or by trust in what? In the Lord to perform in our lives what He's promised. So how often should I pray? Can I do anything to glorify the Lord in my own strength? No. Why has God done that? Why has God? If I could do things in my strength, you know what's going to creep up? Pride. Pride. If I do this, I'm right. And if I do this, and if I don't do this, well, here's what's really important. What does the Word of God say? Because if the Word of God is not saying, then we're creating doctrine that will condemn us in the sense of walking away from the truth and not in the power of God. We'll begin to walk. This is where we walk in our own righteousness. Well, I think this is what we ought to do. Well, if it's not in the Bible, there's a problem with what we think. So what we think, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, is not the right way. And that's what God wants us to walk in. So notice what He says in verse 3. He says, are ye so foolish? Listen to this. Having begun in the what? Is that word Spirit capitalized? And I want to remind you, sometimes it's not capitalized and it is referring to the Holy Spirit still. And sometimes it's not capitalized and it's referring to the Holy Spirit and the human spirit as one. That's our spirit with the Lord's Spirit. So He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now listen to this thought here. Are these saved people? They're saved. So are we talking about salvation? Not at all. We're talking about their manner of life, how they are walking in this world, and they are not walking according to the Word of God, but they're walking in rules that have been given to them or ideas that have been given to them that they thought would justify them before the Lord. Well, because I do this and I don't do that, God will accept me in a greater way. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And Paul is saying, listen, he says, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the answer, of course, is no. So why did Paul confront them with that? Was he trying to hurt them? No, he was trying to put them back on course where the Lord would be honored and glorified and where their lives would be empowered by the grace of God. See, when we look to the law or our ideas of what we think we ought to do and not do, and that's going to somehow gain us acceptance between us and the Lord, we walk away from faith. We're looking to what we can do instead of what God can do. Do you see that? And that's easy to do. That is, in fact, it happened to the Galatian believers who are already saved people. This is the church of God here. And yet they had walked away because they began to add these little things from their minds, not from the Word of God. And that can happen very easily. And we can justify, we can walk in our own confidence and pride, and that's going to drive us away. And here's how, listen, what is the Spirit of the Lord all about? Is it, how did he come? Did he come in a royal chariot of fire and lived in a big golden palace? Or did he come humble? Amen. He came humble in obscurity. You know, he says, follow me. Live like me. Follow what I see. This is the way to the heart of God. That you think the Lord, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew the heart of the Father? And so he's saying, follow me in this kind of humility and trust me. In spite of what others might do, and will you have opposition to the truth? Will there be opposition to the truth? Absolutely. But the Lord wants us to believe that even the opposition will be used to the glory of God. You can trust the authority of God. In all of our lives, in everything that happens, even if we don't like it and we think it's wrong, God will use it for our good. God, listen, God will allow things in our lives sometimes to get our attention and sometimes to get us, drive us to prayer, right? And that's an important thing to do. So God will allow these things that we might need the Lord in a greater way and say, oh, God, I really need you in this. And the great thing about it is God will answer that prayer and bring an answer that will glorify him and say, what a great God. Cause us to say, what a great God. Look how faithful our God is. I was in trouble. Didn't David say that? And he helped me out of how many of his troubles? All of his troubles, right? Because he was looking to the Lord. He wasn't looking at King Saul. He wasn't looking at those that were against him. He wasn't looking at Absalom. He looked to the Lord, right? Now, he wasn't perfect, but he had a heart for the Lord, and that caused him to have his eyes on the Lord. And then when he was at Ziklag, if you'll remember, they took everything from him, and his own men talked about stoning him. And what did he do at that moment? He prayed. And he said, Lord, what will I do? Shall I recover? Shall I pursue? And will I recover? And he said, yep, you'll recover it all. And he did, didn't he? And the Lord was honored and glorified in that. Look at verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? They have gone through, I don't know what kind of a trial, what kind of experience, but they had looked to the Lord. And he's saying, have you suffered? Have you gone through so many of these things? And you've faced difficulties and now by faith and you saw how the Lord. And now is that all for nothing? Is that all just for nothing? Have you given up on the truth? Are you going to handle it now your way? Or are you going to trust the Lord all the way to the end? So he was reminding them that these things are not in vain. Come back on course and follow the Lord. Look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, listen to this, and worketh miracles among you. Does that mean that they saw miracles among them? Absolutely. Isn't that what it says? They saw miracles. Remember, this is the first century, and there's all kinds of things going on, and there were people in their midst that God had blessed to perform miracles, and they were seeing them, and Paul is asking them about these miracles. How were they performed? Again, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, which is the Lord, and others, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he hit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And of course, it's by hearing of faith. And that's that word, trusting in the Lord. Nobody, you remember when Peter and John, and by the way, that was a good work too, Peter and John, because they remember, Lord, what about him? What about him? And remember the sepulcher, young John, he made it there first, but he put down the brakes. He didn't go into, and then Peter went in there and kind of went in there, and then John went in, right? And so there was a little bit of a rivalry there. But then in the book of Acts, there we find that they went to this man who was lame, above 40 years old, lame from his mother's womb. And Peter said, look on us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went up leaping and praising the Lord into the temple. And so God, listen, God was doing great things in their midst. And he was changing lives. And has God changed today? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? So the problem is not, see, we get so focused on what can we do instead of, God, what is it that you want to do? That's what's necessary. Lord, show me how to walk in your way and in your power. So, verse 6, he says this, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or credited to him for righteousness. Did you see that? He believed, what was that? That's faith. He trusted. I'm believing what God is saying. And that's the bottom line. Do we really believe what God is saying or has said in his word and trusting in him and seeking him in those things that he might fulfill those promises in our everyday lives? That's what he wants us to do. And that's how our salvation gets exciting. And that's how we begin to look for ways to tell people about what God has given to us, because God is so real and in the forefront of our thinking. So, verse 7, he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, listen to this, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, through trusting, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham heard the gospel. That's what the Bible says, right? Of course, the gospel has been preached from the fall of Adam and Eve about how he would come and be our Savior. So, He says this, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, Abraham didn't even fully comprehend that, did he? So that was really given, this is given to us to understand what God had promised way back when in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Isn't that great? God wants us to know how great he is. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law or their own righteousness are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not, and this is the last thought, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, by the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, listen to this, for the just shall live by faith. Those who are justified are trusting the Lord. And you know what you see? You see the Spirit of God in them. Let me say that again. You see the Spirit of God in them. And what is the Spirit of God? What is the Spirit of God? Is it not kind? Is it not gentle? Is it not long-suffering? So shouldn't we look for that in our lives? And if it's not in our lives, is there not a problem? Isn't there a problem? What have we done? We've veered off track. Why have we veered off track? Because somewhere we think we know better. I'm saying that. That's what we do. That's what I do. If I am off path, I've established my own righteousness. I'm going to do it my way. And that's not God's way. And so I won't be walking upright if I do it that way. I could think all I want to think, it's not the way God wants me to go, right? If I'm walking in my way. So notice again, verse 11. Let's put 11 and 12 and we'll be finished. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, listen, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So the law was never set up for righteousness. The law was set up to show us we are law breakers and we need a Savior. The law is the righteousness of God. You and I will never fulfill the works of the law in our strength. But we can glorify the Lord in the Spirit, and we'll keep the law by the power of God. How would you say? By the love of God. Amen. By the love of God in our lives. If you love me, what did Jesus say? You will what? Now listen to this. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we're not keeping the commandments of God, there's a problem in our love for the Lord. So where do we start with? Lord, show me how to love you. And you know the first thing that the Lord's going to say? Okay, trust me. That's faith. Put your trust in me, not in what you feel, not in what you think. Trust me. And you know what the Lord's going to say? He's going to say, if you're going to follow me, you have to walk humble. You have to walk humble. And you have to not think much of yourself. Because they mocked me and they didn't like me. And if they didn't like me and you're going to follow after me, guess what? You know it already, right? They're not going to like you. But that is the way. That is the way to glorify the Lord and to be on track. And so tonight, the Lord reminds us that it was easy for these believers to get off track. Question, is it easy for us? We can miss the Lord, can't we? But you know what? God is so good and so loving and so kind. He reminds us even tonight, this is the way. Follow me. Amen? Amen. This is the way. Follow me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the reminder, and for your great love, Lord. What an amazing love and grace that you have for each and every one of us, that you never give up, no matter how far we might stray, no matter how prideful we may become. Lord, you always love us, and you're always reaching out to us to bring us back into your path. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in each and every one of our lives. May we run the course and have a hunger and a thirst and call upon you, Lord, to give us that hunger and thirst to follow you and to run the course you've given to us. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.